You had a big off season. Every time I turned around during the winter, there was something new. And run through all of the things that happened. You've got new sponsors, you've got new drivers, you've got new teams. It's been an exciting time for you, and you've got a new job.
No, we're fortunate that NTT has come on as the title sponsor of the series, which we're thrilled about. Huge global company that's looking to have more of a presence in North America. So it's amazing what they've already done in the short period of time that they've been here. There's a lot of things they're doing with the app that's going to come out in the next. It was two or three different phases to it, but I think the fans will be pretty excited about that. We've extended some other partners, like, you know, for instance, Firestone has extended through 2025. You know, new teams, again, like you mentioned. You know, this all kind of started in 2016 when we came up with this five-year plan. One of the big initiatives of the plan was to recruit new teams to come into the series. And a interesting fact on that is 2 years ago at St. Pete, we had 8 teams and 21 cars. This year, we had 12 teams and 24 cars. So we got really good organic growth. You know, got a lot of good young drivers, good young teams. You know, really excited about the future.
Well, I was going to talk about the new drivers, too, because you had a new driver who got his first victory just last weekend, and the whole season just continues to roll and get better for you. New driver, new team, all pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. Excuse me. That's one of the ones where it actually matched together, right, with one of the new drivers and teams. Real excited for them. Colton, it's funny, over the last few years, when he was coming up through the ladder system, we actually had to – we changed a rule here or there for him, and it was all about not rules. It was about age restrictions, because the kid was so good, you know, and had done many things at a certain level, and it was time for him to graduate, that type of thing. So I think the proof is in the pudding, obviously, with what happened or what's happened the last couple of weeks. He's been really good. He's a great kid, got a great family. His dad, you know, is a big part of the history of the sport. So we're, you know, I'm sure the sky's the limit for him.
But you got a pretty exciting class of rookies too, especially some guys who come over from Europe to run here. But the rookie class looks like it's very strong and has a pretty golden future ahead of it.
Yeah. Well, you can go back to Sonoma last year when we had, I guess there were 25 cars in that race, and there were 8 rookies that participated. So a lot of that's carried over. And then obviously with Felix and Marcus, they weren't part of that, so they're new. Yeah, again, we're excited about it. I think a year or so ago, we looked at this sheet of who had all ran in the series throughout the course of that year, and there was 30-some drivers, you know, at the 500. And there was like 2 or 3 in their 40s, you know, 15 in their 30s, and the rest were in their 20s. So the series skews very young, and, you know, the future is very bright.
Is that drawing a new audience to your sport, too?
Well, certainly will. It helps, right? That's one of the things you always look for is, you know, youth and how that fits in. And I think having a younger demographic of drivers helps with that. And then obviously the drivers that we have are very diverse. They come from all over the globe. We got a great group of American drivers too. And you think with Felix and Marcus coming from Formula One, that's, you know, there's obviously a large following there. It's going to help continue to build the series.
What about the series is drawing this interest from these young guys, the young owners as well as the young drivers? What is the attraction for IndyCar for them right now?
Well, I think, again, like we mentioned a little bit ago, that plan we came up with a couple of years ago, that we know what we're doing and we know where we're going. And the plan was a paddock-wide effort. We got a great paddock, a great group that wants to help, that wants to see the series grow. And it's really cool that the plan, you know, we keep talking about the five-year plan. That's just basically because of what it's called. But the plan now actually goes through 2026 with engine regulations and different things we're doing. So it's really kind of taking a life of its own. But again, we sit here, we have a really good cadence, I think, or we've come up with a good cadence collectively. We have different meetings in the fall, and the meetings in the fall discuss, you know, 20% of it's for the following year, the other 80% for the future. We do that with the team managers, the drivers, the owners. So there's this cadence to what we're doing and how we're doing it and when we're doing it. So as a team, and that's, you know, coming from a team perspective, you can plan. You don't obsolete parts and pieces. You know where we're going. You know what the budget's going to be. You know, so I think that's made for some stability with the rules package. We've made the point of entry less expensive. You know, obviously racing is expensive, but we've made it less expensive. we've made it so you know, again, you can budget, and you do have an understanding of when different capital expenditures are going to happen throughout the course of the plan. So, I guess the proof is in the pudding, that we are recruiting new teams and there are new things happening, so that's good.
Some of these guys have been racing in Europe, and some of them had to dip their toe a little bit in Formula One, and then they decided to come over here. Is that kind of a good pipeline for the series right now?
Well, sure. One of the things, again, we talk about when we part of the plan in 16 was we froze the manufacturer aero kits in 17, and then we come out with the new kit, in 18, which is now this year. 19 is the second year of that. One of the things that we really wanted to do is we've taken massive amounts of downforce off the cars, and we've made it so you really the driver really has to drive the car, and not that they didn't have to do the other one, but if you saw the race this past weekend, the cars, you can drive the car loose, you can drive it tight, the car slips around, does different things, slides around, so it's fun to watch. And from a driver perspective, I know they all really like it because they have to, if they can make a difference, a big difference. So that was one of the biggest things we wanted to do is put, the drivers have always been very important, but even to make them even more important with this current configuration.
I watched that race at the new Circuit of the Circuit of the Americas, and it was exciting to see IndyCar on that course. Did it turn out to be an experience that was as good as you thought it was going to be?
Oh, absolutely. Bobby Epstein and his entire staff do a phenomenal job. It's a great facility. We couldn't have felt more welcome. A month ago we did a two-day open test there too. It was the same result. There's some things that we'll look at, maybe differently going into next year there, but they're willing to do, they go above and beyond. They want to make this a long-term viable event. So there's already planning going on for next year. And again, we were very excited to go there, and we're very excited about the future there.
I don't think one of the things we talked about very early on about new things that happened during the year, we didn't touch very much on this, you have a new television contract that really looks like it's going to be a boost for you.
Yeah, it's funny. That was even farther back. So that was,
yeah.
We said the offseason. Yeah, that was last fall.
Yeah,
So NBC's come on full time, and we're very excited. They've already done a lot of preseason promotion. You're doing the NFL playoffs. You saw a lot of stuff. There's during hockey, you're seeing a lot of IndyCar promotion. So they're really trying to make integrate us into their entire pipeline. They want to make the 500 a really big event. They have a Champions Tour type event that they have. With the Kentucky Derby and some other events that they have, so it'll be a really big deal. So I think having the continuity being on all one network is great. I think we're going to be on 8 NBC rate, the big network 8 times, which we're quite excited about. So yeah, it's been great so far, and we look forward to the future with them too.
Well, one thing I've saw that I didn't think got a lot of play is that there's also a link up with a British company called Sky Sports, which does a lot of Formula One broadcasting, and now IndyCar is going to be right in the middle of that. That's got to be a big boost in Europe.
Yeah, that's another great partnership. We came out a while back with all of our international partnerships that we have. And that's a massive undertaking. Steven Starks here with our group did a really good job with that. You're dealing with all of them individually, and it's just it's a lot of work. I think part of that is with the diversity of the series, having drivers from different places in the world. I mean, that comes into play then too. I know our ratings are way up in Sweden, so there's reasons for that. It's neat to follow that and see how different things can have a big impact. And we're just really getting started on the really big international platform. And I think that's there's a lot of room for growth there too.
You're still looking for a third engine supplier in addition to Honda and Chevrolet. Do you feel that you're moving closer to finding somebody?
Honda and Chevrolet are great partners, right. Hugely vested in the sport and are very supportive of that. I think if you look at, as we're growing, and we are, the third manufacturer is going to become more of a necessity, even not, it's not a luxury, it'd be a necessity because of the growth, which is a great problem to have. It's frustrating at times. We seem like we get to a certain, spot or point, and then, most of the time things happen out of our control. But we have ongoing conversations. Lots of them appreciate and like what we're doing, or and they're enthused about what we're doing. A lot of it's just timing, right? Because it's a big commitment. It's not, you know, it's hard to get sponsors, and sponsorships are difficult. Well, this is even the next step. They have to actually build engines. So it's a big commitment, and a lot of it is, like I mentioned, is just timing. And it'll happen. We hope it happens sooner than later, and we'll just keep pressing along.
Yeah, but it's a tough challenge. I mean, Lotus couldn't do it in 2012, and I guess before that it would have been Alfa Romeo that was trying it back in the 80s and 90s. And I suppose Mercedes had its Beast engine in 1994. It was the last successful third manufacturer. So this is really difficult to develop a competitive engine at this level of racing.
And Oh, absolutely. Excuse me. And, yeah, it certainly is. And there's some great candidates out there, and there's lots of people that could actually do it. But again, you know, there's timing on commitments of what they're currently doing. So they might be doing other forms of motorsports, you know, that they would want to, you know, do they want to continue with that? Do they want to expand? Could we be part of their expansion? What does the future technology look like? And that was one of the reasons why we thought it was really good to get our engine regulations out through 2026. So we have a path, and they see where we're going and what we're doing, that it's relevant, you know, for most engine manufacturers' business. And, you know, it's just part of the whole process.
Last time we talked about the maximum number of cars in races other than the Indianapolis 500. And you talked about 24 at St. Petersburg. And as I recall, 24 is getting pretty close to what you think is the optimum number for non-500 races. Is that, are you still looking at 24, 25, 26?
Yeah, the way we have it kind of organized on the plan piece is if you had three manufacturers and they all had eight cars, you know, for 24 cars, and then as we organically grow, you know, that each one maybe gets one or two here or there, you know, if it was 24 to 28, you know, you could probably even go up to 30 if you, you know. So we're not to that point yet. Again, these are all good problems to have. There's facilities that we go to that pit space is limited. You know, that would be one thing. But I think as long as we know what's going on and when, and you can prepare for it, you know, we can accommodate that.
I see numbers coming about the 500 on the number of entries that are getting. Is that a pretty encouraging thing about the number of entries you're getting for the 500?
Yeah. Well, again, I think it falls back into the piece about having, you know, more cars running full time. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously then the number for the 500 grows with that also. So it just kind of fits. You know, last year we had 35 cars. We feel good about exceeding that this year. So again, the growth continues. So we'll have, you know, we come up with some different things on the qualifying format. For this year, we'll have the top 30 locked in on Saturday, and then Sunday, we'll do the last row and we'll do the fast nine. So the pole, there'll be bumping. There's really, to me, as a former team person, you know, Saturday is huge because you want to go home Saturday night knowing you're locked in the top 30. That's a big deal. And then Sunday will be, you know, equally as big because we'll do the pole and we'll do the last row. So someone will be bumped on Sunday.
Cars are going to be a little bit different for the 500 this year. You've got a deflector of some kind to protect the driver. Describe that for me.
This has been a couple-year process to come up with a solution that we're looking for. We're really encouraged by some of the things we're working on, but it wasn't completely 100%. So the AFT device is something we started working on a few years ago, and it's it's a good solution that does a lot of really good things. It's not our final solution; it's just one of the phases of it. So it's basically a debris deflector type thing. So we're glad that we kind of initiated it late. So it was a big, it was difficult for the teams to be able to get all this done before the 500, but the teams have been great. We appreciate their support, and we think this is a good first step.
You took a good hard look last year at a windshield. Has that idea been scrapped, or is it still in process somewhere?
It's still very much in process. Yeah. We put it on a car twice last year, once at Phoenix with Scott Dixon and then at the 500 with Joseph Newgarden. We're very encouraged by the results, but you know, there's a lot of testing that goes on behind the scenes, and a couple of tests came back with not quite the result we were looking for. So the testing's ongoing, and we've come up with a couple of different solutions that we think that we are very encouraged about. But this, you know, we had to we want to make sure when you do this stuff, you got to make sure it's right, because there's a you know, there's a cause and effect to everything you do. So it's got to be 100%. So we're confident we'll get it to 100% sooner or later. But we're, you know, the testing's still ongoing.